This is a Pinball News production.
Thanks a lot. Sorry I'm late. I was stuck downtown Chicago for about an hour and a half, foaming, cursing, but I made it. Nice to be here. It's an honor to talk to you guys. Why I wanted to come and finally speak out is the fact that a lot of people say pinball is dead. And little did they know from history, in ancient Greece, the first games were written off for 2,000 years. They came back. Hockey is in big trouble. That's another great game. As a gamer and game designer, I can tell you pinball is just in a coma. It got the shit beaten out of it by money men. I call that the Enronitis disease. They did that to our toy industry, to our car industry. You know who they are, who they were. So it's only a matter of time when I'm sure younger and older designers are gonna muster up the courage and convince some fool with a lot of money to start it all over again, big time. The crucial thing in the future is that the three reasons the pinball industry is in dire straits are eliminated. Main reason was service. No new technologies since Harry Williams were introduced, as they were so creatively done in the car industry, in the movie industry, even all the gaming industries, from football and the modern helmets to the video game industry. So muscle wires or other new technologies that will eliminate the problem of maintaining 60-year-old technology are introduced, that would be a crucial factor. The second would be to encourage and educate the kids about creating the miniature amusement parks that pinballs are. And that is the second great factor. And the other one is the financial realities of the coin-operated and game industry, which is also in dire straits because everybody is looking for an easy buck. We see it with the big banks. We see it with the car industry. Anything good takes effort, a lot of maintenance, a lot of passion. And I think in the last 15 years across the board in the modern world, that is lost. Pinball is a physical game. I always said a good pinball machine, forgive me ladies, is just like a good woman. If it makes the man dance with it and jump, that's a good sign. That's a good pinball machine. But today we got this couch zombies that sit there with the thumbs and the murder simulators that are dominating the video industry show us in what spiritual and cultural crisis we are. So pinball is one of those victims. As I said, it got the schmutz beat out of it by all these factors I mentioned. So I would keep my speech like a miniskirt, long enough to cover the bare essentials and short enough to keep up your attention. Any questions are welcome. But basically, in a nutshell, that was my speech. Keep up your passion. Keep up the good work. Pinball is going to be back, like any great game. It's a genre since the Bagatelle in the Middle Ages that is not going to die. It's just in the recovery room right now, as I said, in a coma, and it needs our help, our passion. And thank you. Any questions?
What is your favorite game that you worked on around your illustrious career?
As always with fathers like yourself, in video was Joust, my first one, and in pinball, Pinbot, my first one. And then Wacky Ducks, the redemption game, which was my first redemption game that I did with Brian Hansen. But I tell you what, Raj, I think that I was blessed with a lot of people at Williams, great talent, but not just talent, dedication and passion. People that we had to kick out of the building at 3 a.m, like Bill Futzenruder and Larry DeMar and the whole lot. And then they'll be back at 8 every single day. And then on weekends, we would go out and check out our other games and interview players. So it was basically, I would say we'd sleep 4 or 5 hours. So it was 27. And but every one of those children, those games, in a way, are my favorite because of the experience, the people that surrounded me with so much love and passion.
So you talked about having a fool with a lot of money come along, and the pinball assets of Williams have been sold off to a couple of people who might be fools with a lot of money, but perhaps they're not the right fools. Is there something more we need for that fool with a lot of money that's going to bring pinball around to a new glory?
Well, when I said, first of all, defining the word fool, fools are people who have a lot of courage, because courage is foolish. It took, if you look in history, you look even at Bill Gates, the way he started, or Steve Jobs in the garage, or Coppola with Apocalypse Now, that put his house and everything he had on the line for that movie. Yeah, I would take a man, when I said fool, who would not, unlike most of the money guys, look at the next quarter earnings or an immediate big buck. A man that would realize, first of all, would love pinball and want to make the greatest pinball games, the new genre, new generation. As it is right now, it cannot go on. So there has to be both a technological and a creative revolution sponsored by this person or group of people. And basically one of the big problems, mentioning Williams, because I've been there and I saw the end coming. When I started in the industry in 1980, you would not believe the passion of the leadership of that company. Money men, engineers, you name it, the paper pushers, they all breathed, lived, slept, ate pinball. They were out to make great games. The money business is only the bank business. If you start a pizzeria, if you worry about money, you're gonna fail. If you wanna do the greatest pizza, the money is going to come. So sarcastically, that's where the fool term came in. The passionate fool. You know, great games. I did the last 3 years, guys, in Wisconsin at Baytech, redemption games that spit out tickets. And I long resisted the temptation to get into the slot machine design, which is very lucrative for creative people and for technically apt people. I think that a great game, it doesn't require a payout. It's just like being a good lover. You get laid for free. And I've made the analogy later with a player and a pinball machine. Because I've seen people play pinball machines for hours. The good models, okay? You guys remember them. The intoxicating themes and awesome play fields. The other thing is variety. If you guys remember, in the 70s, 80s, even early 90s, all this crazy, Steve Ritchie would put a playfield in Black Knight up there with a crazy ramp. The guys at Gottlieb would put four flippers. The under the playfields. I mean, there was not one video game or pinball game in those days that was a me too. The problem was, again, getting back to payout. It was the payout to the next quarter earnings. So what happened, like Hollywood and like other industries, it became designed by formula, meaning two flippers, the basic shots, the jet bumpers, drop targets, stand-up targets, one or two choo-choo rides that you shoot the ball, and the ball, you can scratch yourself and go to the bathroom, okay? The ball gets to the flipper. Then the toys. And I would say also one of the things that bothered me immensely was the overuse of licenses, because there were good people in the industry that got great licenses, like Roger Sharp and Joe Kamikawa, who got the best in Hollywood. Things like the Addams Family and things like Bugs Bunny, which was a great theme. We just had 3 months to do the game. That was the problem. So we basically threw it together in a couple of weeks. But that was another factor. There was no time to do something like Pinbot with a poem and an original script and original music that Graner composed. You guys know Chris Graner, right? What a genius. The artistry, the sketches, all the legwork, there was no time. The board of directors, the stockholders expected, buy the formula, don't take any chances. Everybody cover your butts, let's make the money. And for an art form and a game, that's a snow job. I found out, not just from designing games, but illustrating children's books, designing toys, doing theater plays, that you cannot bullshit even little kids. They know what you did is a fake, to just get it done and make the buck, the quick buck. They just know it. I sometimes feel even dogs have a feeling for toys. I think they destroy the toys that were just commercially motivated. They chew them, bury them, and want to get rid of them. Didn't see one bury a pinball game yet, but a lot of models should have been.
What's your idea for next innovation? You said that you've got
No, Pinball Circus is where pinball, I think, should have went. And that's why I left Williams, thinking that Capcom was going to let us reach for the stars. Then next year I'll present you guys my, I'm working on a sit-down pinball, where right now I'm working, you sit under a playfield, and your head comes over it in a bubble, and the flippers are right in front of you. And you got triggers for the flipper buttons. You guys will see it next year. I'm not doing it for money. I just do it in my barn at my farm for passion. But there are several games that also Brian Hansen and I are gonna bring next year that one of them you might have heard rumors about that were totally untrue was Zingy Bingy. And it was not a pornographic pinball game by any stretch of the imagination. It was just the eternal conflict between the sexes, between men and women. It was a lot like the Honeymooners. It was a spoof on the conflict between male, female. And with all the accoutrements and the usual classic factors involved. It's basically the male brain working with testosterone and a woman with estrogen. And man being just an aggressive, cocky hunter, and a woman being the communicator and the cave keeper, and so on and so forth. And the one thing about the layout on the game, and I think some, I don't know if anybody here present saw it, we tried to sell it to a few companies a year after Capcom folded, Brian and I, and talk about service. We innovated a play field that basically becomes a work table. You don't lift it up, it pulls out and stands out above the game. And you can work on both sides at the same time. You don't have to put it back in. That was a major innovation that we had. The other one was it had two playfield plastics. That's it. That you could take off in 2 seconds and get to fix everything. It had the first flipper that changed size that was in Bingy's shorts. The flipper actually stretches, becomes longer. And I thought that was quite an achievement considering Brian and my age. I'm 54 now. And we did it without Viagra. It's a cool mech. It's a cool mech. Probably a lot of urologists will look into it for transplants or God knows what. Boy, we could go on about Zingy Bingy for hours. But I promise you next year we'll Brian and I and a couple of our old buddies, programmers. One is tied up in a contract. Another one is making a lot of money working for an investment group. So basically he does algorithms that takes your money and pisses it away on wrong investments and stuff like that. And besides the sit-down pinball, you know, the sky's the limit. There are a lot of old, tried-out designers, I'm looking at a couple of them here, who innovated at Bally, at Gottlieb, at Williams, great, great news. You guys remember Dennis Norman's Blackwater, the vertical playfield there was another bike game that Larry DeMarin. Banzai Run, yeah. I don't know why Banzai, to me, is like committing harakiri or, yeah, a suicidal run. Banzai Run was a great innovation. And you guys know the rest, I mean. But if you look back in history, whether it was Buckaroo that inspired me to doing Bad Cats, the Polish lady with a broom beating the shit out of the cat in a garage. The animated back glasses. Margarici and I put one in Big Guns. A lot of people in those days. I mean, if you look at what was on top of the back box, at the variety of subject matters of gizmos in a game, new, it was amazing. Just like video games. Now they're all murder simulators, driving games, copies of sports like football, Madden football, and so on. But you don't see the Q-Birds, the Pac-Mans. In those days, there was not one game that looked the same or played the same. Same thing in pinball. Same thing in whatever was the bingo games in the bingo parlors that used flippers and the ball. So, but again, I want you folks to realize that the crisis in pinball is only a part of the larger picture of our, as a culture in America and Europe, the Western culture, of lost creativity, lost courage. If you look on TV, what are the shows? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? The Price is Right. Everything is money whoring. And if you look, who's doing all the creative stuff? I went to China 3 years ago and I was stunned by the best copycats in the world, the Chinese and the Japanese, because I went to Osaka for a few months and were there too, are now the creative ones. We became laid back, maybe our opulence and our good life just lazied us up. But I think the main factor was the fact that business and money took over the art form. Instead of the art form, the design, the pinball game being the main goal of a pinball company, it was not that anymore. It was just making money. A guy that should remain nameless asked me 3 years ago to join him again. And I said, why? We'll start a game car. We'll make a lot of money. And I turned my back and walked away. And he didn't understand. He chased me down the hall. He said, what did I say, Python? I go, I don't want to be a banker. I'm not in the money business. You didn't say, let's make great games. I'm out of here. So that's where the future will come back as a great pinball project. Pinball coming back is giving, again, the freedom to talented people to do great games and risk and be a money fool, as I mentioned in the beginning.
Have you been paying attention to the stuff that's been coming out lately? The unfinished work, the unfinished software, the poor construction, the uninspired design?
Yeah.
What do you think of this?
I said it's our quick buck. Out the door. Next.
So that's great pinball machine made.
There were several in the mid 90s. It is too bad that Pinball 2000, which I was part of as a consultant was driven like a Mack truck into a wall, because there are great possibilities. The Austrians right now, an Austrian company is working on a combination mechanical and video playfield, where even the jet bumpers change images, and they are physical jet bumpers. It's amazing. They had a presentation at one of the toy companies I consult, and I was amazed by it. I was fortunate enough to see it. The other ones, they were, like I said, I think in the mid-90s, when companies started to fold, and towards the end, and they folded because of what was going on. They were like Enron, they were milked. Test sites were being salted. I don't know if you guys know the term. It's an insider expression, where basically people in a company would go and set up people with money to pump quarters in the machine so it looks good to distributors that it did good on the test site. And that happened a lot. So all of a sudden, no one believed the test results. They would buy a few machines to test them themselves. So the whole thing just went haywire. I don't think designers, artists, and programmers also had the freedom, the resources, and the time to do a great job, because they were under such pressure to turn around the mud bricks and shove them out the door. And so to stay competitive, you guys look at some of the Raw Thrills with their driving game, Fast and Furious, the Big Box Safari that Josh Petro did. It was fortunate that Betson and a few money men funded those two great talented guys from Williams, Jarvis, and Petro. And my wish would be that the rest of the great designers had such good fortune and luck, and find that foolish men with the money to do great things.
Any Sterns that come to mind that you think are good designs and well-made machines?
The Stern machines are formula machines. And Gary Stern did great stuff. His machines, he uses talented people. He uses, you know, the problem is that I think there is lack of courage to take the risk. You know, he would take one crazy young guy like Michael Strowing came in the industry, or you name it, some of the great leaders in our video or pinball, and be totally foolish. Because believe me, guys, there are people at Williams that when a lot of us guys, whether it was me or John Trudeau or Daish or Eugene Jarvis, the serious bean counters, the accountants, they shook their heads. They thought Ken Fedesna and Mike Stroh and those people were crazy to hire wackos like us. Mavericks, rebels, you name it. But just like in all the other gaming or game or toy or entertainment industries, it takes that. It takes a, you guys familiar with the movie Big? Okay. You gotta unplug Zoltar and go for it and turn into a child if you want to do great, absolutely great things, and have somebody in management who can manage the child or the children in the playpen and know when to spank them and when to reward them. And talk about reward, that's another factor. In the days when I started, people who did great stuff and were very dedicated got royalties and got treated right. Those days are over for now.
How would you feel about a pinball machine that actually paid out tickets?
We tried it. Yeah, yeah. It was tried. There were redemption games with flippers. I don't know if you guys saw the model. I don't recall. I think it was it Gary Stern or Roger who did a pinball redemption? Oh, yeah, right, Alvin, right. Also, we tried up in Wisconsin and in a few other states to take used pinball machines just for a test and put ticket redemption in the pinball machines and even shorten the legs for the little guys. And it doesn't work. It's a redemption ticket thing on a pinball machine, guys. It's just like tits on a ball. It just doesn't belong there. The cow is supposed to give the pinball machines, as I said before, are, I don't know if you guys know the history of the King of France that had the Bagatelle invitees when a marquis or a duke was invited to the court to play Bagatelle with a king. He knew he'd lose a castle if the king played. Otherwise, the game would be fair, but what the ivory ball would do is come and fall into a hole. It fell after it was shot up into one of the king's holes. The king would lose the castle, that the name of the castle was above the hole on the inclined playfield. If it went to the marquis, he would lose a castle. And what the king would do is have a midget under the playfield that poked the ball like a kicker if it fell into the king's holes. So the ball continued to drop down. That was a great payoff machine. If it would play for castles with George Bush or with Cheney or Saudi Arabians, that would be great, great pinball. The pinball, we did an innovation. I called it the stimulator, where you could attach a mechanism on top of the pinball back box that held prizes, capsules. You could put it in a pinball in a bar with a little ramp that would drop it on the glass and roll down to you. And basically, it would be hooked up to your extra ball features and your diagnostics. We tried it. We alienated the pinball players. We had a few goofs that wanted these tchotchkes, the plastic spiders and the crap in the little things. So I don't think that would be the solution. The thing that I think is going back to basics. Get a bunch of wild men in a room and a guy who says, okay, you know what? I want you guys to build a pinball machine. And when we take it out, like we did when Pinbot's mask opened, or when Black Knight, and all the other magic moments, or when the machine's head turned around and she became woman, and we had Mozart, Queen of the Night aria from the Magic Flute, first time opera and pinball, or other great innovations, in that moment, pinball would be back. Because people will go to see the show. It's just like they don't go to the circus, but they go to see Cirque du Soleil, circus is not popular around the world because of the animal rights, all the whipping and beating of the poor beasts. So that's where that goes. Yes.
Well, a lot of the innovations you're talking about, Python, are ones that you guys came up with when people actually played pinball.
Hi.
So much, do you feel that if you come up with new innovations, they will bring people
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know when we put Pinball Circus out on test, Pinball Circus was making 3-4 times as much as other pinball machines. However, the money guys didn't like it because the return on investment was not good enough. And again, that's where we are failing, not just as a society, but as humanity, because it's going all over the world. So I'm not pointing fingers just at the pinball guys that lost these companies. I think we, as humanity, if we can call ourselves that at this point, we are in trouble. And pinball is one of the symptoms of that phenomena. If I'm sure that not just you take taxi, not just the meter in the back glass or Gorby hailing a cab, and not just design of the playfield, every person involved in a project, whether it was that Boone, the great programmer, or Chris Graner, or the whole team, but also everybody from marketing to sales. I mean, Roger, you guys know him as a marketing and licensing guy. Well, let me tell you, he's one of the most passionate pinheads on the planet. No, this side of the galaxy. Joe Dillon, that was the salesman, the guy in charge of sales. I went today, the last 3 years, I worked for a company where the sales staff would not even want to hear about games after 5 o'clock. They'll talk about ice fishing, hunting, Green Bay Packers, booby bars. We were, like I said before, we were sleeping, eating, breathing pinball. And to your question, if the passion is there on the team that will make the pinball game, when you put it out there, they'll be like flies on honey. They know it. They feel it. And I've seen that not just with pinball. I've seen it with video, with toys, with books. You look at Harry Potter, which is now again a formula book, but the first one that lady wrote, she did it for her kid, and she never even knew. She just wanted to do a children's book. And she was homeless. Any great example on a revival, or because they call it the phenomena. Well, any process that has integrity and is meant to succeed, by those who don't understand it, they call it a phenomena. Like something accidental. What a lucky guy or lucky company. Luck comes to those who are prepared, sincere, passionate. And so it goes in our case, with pinball.
What do you see as far as what pinball will do with location games and home market games? Is that going to affect the pinball's comeback?
Well, I think that there are some very hard economic times coming. People are going to have a hard time driving unless it's absolutely necessary to go to work. I'm talking the majority of people, not Paris Hilton or some of those folks. Food will be very expensive and scarce, and it's going to continue because the world population is indirectly proportional to the loss of sea life and fertile soil. And also the fact that we need, if everybody in China, India, Africa would have a car like we do and will drive it, which they are thriving to, they're trying real hard. That's why they're kicking our butts. And all across the board, they're studying harder, they're producing better products. we need 24 planets like Earth with oil as much as we have to sustain that kind of a standard of living in about 15, 16 years. And that's mathematical statistics done by experts. So getting back on the entertainment and pinball. Pinball, traditionally, as you all know, when things were tough, pinball did well. Because people didn't have money to go to, let's say, the cinema and to Great America. So they take a few bucks, have a couple of beers, and play pinball in a corner bar. That's not the case anymore. You will see the bar and club market collapse. It's already shrinking drastically for a lot of reasons, including the DUIs, the very tough laws, the price of the beverages, the price of gas, and so on. Now, for at home, the competition from the internet and the computer games is fierce. However, that doesn't say, again, if a pinball platform, I would call it, not as we know it, would bring a new twist to the Galileo Syncline field and a silver ball, it would be phenomenal. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Churchill Cabinets, which has a side business now, the Chicago Gaming Company, and they do consumer stuff. They did a jukebox that's phenomenal. They did a pinball game, Vacation, that is not so phenomenal. But it has a lot of great innovations and possibilities for the home without the coin box. And they are doing pretty good with Sears and with the catalogs. But again, it's not, I think that people are looking for excuses on why certain things fail. I get back and I can't pound the nail past the wood at this point, but I will repeat it one more time, softly tapping at home. It's not about the market. The market ain't there, or it's at home, or it's in the bar, or it's in the truck stop, or it's in the alley next to the dumpster, or in school, or it's the pinball game magic that will create the electricity like it did before. And you look at certain things, who would have thought, let's say, how many guys were thrown out of a business office with a great, great innovation. And they put it out, and the rest is history. Case in point, talk about paradigms, is the first electronic wristwatch. If you guys Google it or go back in history, a young man in Switzerland got sick and tired, great engineer, of working on freaking cuckoo clocks. They had parts, and they were like pinball, too many parts. Service was a pain in the cone and in the cuckoo, he said. It sounds funnier in German. But anyway, he went on his own at home, and he did the first little prototype for your digital, the electronic, yeah, LED, right. Anyway, right. But they laughed him out of the room. And as a matter of fact, they thought he was losing his marbles, and they fired him. So this man, now at this time, it was late 50s or early 60s. I don't recall the year, but in that time zone, they laughed him out, they humiliated him, they fired him. And Switzerland held at that time 90-something percent of the world market in wristwatches, clocks, you name it, alarm clocks, timers. This man went to Japan, to Seiko, and came to the United States to Texas Instruments, and the rest is history. Who would have thought there was a market for the gizmo? So it's again stepping out of the paradigm. And the secret, guys, and I'll close with this statement, is I don't have an answer for it. I don't know if any of the creative guys do, but you know, if some heads are put together and people experiment in with the right motives, not with money in mind or not, is making pinball very serviceable, compatible with the market conditions, a good competitor with other coin-operated or home games, and brings children of all ages that wonderfully escape healthy. That's better than any drug or any porn flick or any garbage type of entertainment. Pinball will be back under those conditions. Thank you so much.